Welcome back to the Business of Government magazine, a special edition of the Business of Government Hour. The U.S. Department of Defense is one of the largest and most complex organizations in the world, managing a budget more than twice that of the world's largest corporation and overseeing millions of personnel operating worldwide. Given the size and complexity of the department's finances and operations, along with the rapid pace of change, engagement in major military campaigns, and worldwide economic uncertainty, it is imperative that the DoD create an agile, responsive, and efficient operation. In this segment, we present the perspectives of two key DoD leaders directly involved in changing the way the U.S. Department of Defense does its business, both bringing an exacting combination of practical knowledge and an understanding of the work to be done and the progress already achieved. First up, Bob Hale, Undersecretary of Defense and Comptroller, on the complexity of managing the U.S. Department of Defense.
I'll go with the facts first. This year, we will execute about $688 billion worth of budget authority of the taxpayers' money to maintain our national security. So we obligate $2 to $3 billion a day on average. It's a very sizable amount. In terms of the specific things that I do, as I mentioned, we spend a lot of time formulating budgets. It's our way of putting together our priorities. Also need to put them together in a way that can convince the Congress and the public that we both need the resources and will spend them appropriately to maintain national security. And then we have a responsibility to make sure that we execute those budgets in a manner that's legal, and there are 8,000 pages in the DoD Financial Management Regulations, so there are lots of laws and regulations, that's effective, that we meet the needs of our warfighters, and finally, it's efficient, for the sake of the taxpayers, and maybe particularly in these days, efficiency is very much on our minds.
As achieving efficiencies is very much on the mind of Undersecretary Hale, so are many of the challenges he faces managing the resources of the DoD.
Well, certainly a key challenge is to make sure that we acquire the resources that we need to meet national security objectives and do that when we're dealing with a nation that is in an economic crisis. Secretary Panetta has said that we understand we need to be part of efforts to hold down the deficit. At the same time, it's a dangerous world. We're still in a shooting war in Afghanistan. We're completing the military mission in Iraq. I think a key challenge is striking that right balance, getting the resources we need, but understanding that we need to make every dollar count in order to hold down the deficit. Once we get the resources, we need to execute them, as I've said, in a manner that's effective. I think we do that pretty well. A bigger challenge, though, is how well we do at documenting how we've spent the money and presenting that information to the public. And in particular, we are one of the two federal agencies that has never had a clean opinion, accounting opinion on, or audit opinion on its financial statements. And that's something we need to change. The last one I'll mention is championing, working for a strong financial management workforce. We need to have those 68,000 people well-trained, and I think they generally are. So I'd say that the budget job, certainly a major challenge, auditability, a major challenge, working to maintain a strong workforce, also a challenge.
Auditability is a major challenge for DoD. Undersecretary Hale outlines DoD's financial improvement and audit readiness strategy.
Let me start by saying I believe the Department of Defense has reasonable controls over its budgets. There are some of our critics who assert the contrary. I think they're wrong. As evidence of that, I'd just note quickly that we have 3,000 auditors who are watching our program and financial moves, and yet we have quite high levels of compliance with key financial legislation, quite high levels of proper payments. But we do need to achieve auditable financial statements for a variety of reasons. They'll help us clean up some imperfections that we may talk about more in our business processes, but most importantly, they'll reassure the public that we're reasonable stewards of their money. And in terms, when I came into this job, there had been progress made, no question, but I think I quickly realized the department wasn't heading in a single direction. Services were doing different things. Some were doing more, some less, no common purpose. We were sometimes trying to do things where there wasn't much management commitment to doing it. So We formulated, I call it the focused approach. It basically pretty simple. It says, let's put our highest priorities on improving information and achieving audit readiness for the kinds of information we most use to manage the Pentagon. And that's first and foremost budgetary information, because we manage the department based on budgets. And second, where our assets are and how many we have, which is very important to warfighters. Auditors call it existence and completeness. So we have focused our attention on trying to improve information in for those categories and move toward audit readiness.
Given DoD's scale of operation, Bob Hale highlights some of the major challenges and obstacles facing the department in its efforts to improve financial information and audit readiness.
You stated one of them in the question, which is our size and our geographical dispersion. What they mean is that we can't go hire an army of accountants, or it would be such a large army that we could never afford it, and do all this work manually. And that brings me to two other major challenges or impediments, if you will, that we face. First, our systems, our financial systems, many of them are old. Some of them date back to the 70s and 80s, and they aren't designed to do what auditors expect. They're designed to keep track of budgets. They're not designed to accommodate audits. When an auditor pulls a sample of thousands of payments spread all around the world, we have to go chase down the paper, and it's a task that you can't do quickly, and it's very expensive. The new systems that we're putting in will keep this information in an automated fashion, so it works well. We'll push a button, and when an auditor asks for it, it will be there. So we need new financial systems. The other thing we need are to improve our business processes. Well, I think we have reasonable control. Our business processes are variable across our command, sometimes from base to base. They may be effective, but in some cases, they're simply not something an auditor would accept. The auditors want to see more detail where we put it, and so we're going to have to change that business practice in order to move toward auditability. So there are some major challenges that we've got to overcome. We're on our way, but it's going to be a lengthy journey.
Though the road to achieving auditability at DoD is lengthy and arduous, Undersecretary Hale points to some of the key successes to date.
Well, we have made some progress. The Army Corps of Engineers, which is actually not part of the DoD budget but still affiliated with the military, has fully auditable financial statements and is maintaining them, has for several years. Several of our large defense agencies have had auditable statements for sometimes more than a decade and have maintained them. The Defense Finance and Accounting Service, Defense Contract Audit Agency, Defense Commissary Agency, and some others. And some of our trust funds, we maintain some very large trust funds for military retirement and military health care, also have a positive audit opinions. What we haven't done yet is achieve that goal for any of the military services, and that is by far the highest hurdle to leap. They are much more complex. They're bigger than anything we have gone after yet. But we have, for the first time ever, a statement of a military service, in this case the United States Marine Corps, under audit their statement of budgetary resources, and I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll see a positive opinion this year, more optimistic that we'll make it by next year. So we're moving into what I might call the big boy issues of auditability in terms of actually working on the military services, and we just have to go after them before we're ever going to get close.
Working closely with Undersecretary Hale to achieve meaningful improvements within DoD is Beth McGrath, its Deputy Chief Management Officer. Beth highlights her role and the role of her fairly young office in changing the way DoD does its business.
So in 2005, we established the Business Management Modernization Program to look more holistically across the business enterprise and not just focus on the financials. And there, too, Congress recognized that we needed some more tools in our toolbox, if you will, to really go after the entire business space. So it is around that time that Congress legislated to us the utilization of a business enterprise architecture, enterprise transition plan, more effective governance, really the tools that most corporations have as they manage their overall operation. The Deputy Chief Management Officer position was established in the 2009 National Defense Authorization Act, and it was there that they created both the position of the Deputy Chief Management Officer and codified the role of the Deputy Secretary of Defense as the Chief Management Officer or Chief Operating Officer across the department. And that really elevated the conversation to be more holistic, not only within the OSD element, but also across the military departments. Because in that same legislation, they identified the undersecretaries of the military departments as the chief management officers for their respective components. So they really put the structure across the department, across all of the business lines, to effectively manage and oversee and integrate the entire business space.
Beth McGrath faces many challenges in her efforts to transform the business processes and operations of the U.S. Department of Defense.
I would say size creates a challenge, because to try and implement something across an enterprise that is as big as the 16th country in the world would be, that doesn't happen overnight, nor does it happen very easily. And so really it's coming up with a framework that can be executed, replicated, and implemented across the defense enterprise is absolutely probably my top two challenges if I was to was able to account the size for the first two. But I would also add complexity to that list. Many of our operations have started, and when I say operations, I don't mean from a military perspective. The way we conduct business is very, very different. We are very non-standard. Frankly, by design, we were that way. So if you put size and complexity together, one would wonder why I would want this job. But I do think it's terribly exciting, because it's also an opportunity to really make significant change in an enterprise that, you know, really wants to and can execute in just the most tremendous ways. Building this coalition for change across the department, articulating the importance of the business mission and how it really facilitates and empowers and enables our core national security mission, I think is a tremendous opportunity. And so, you know, size and complexity, yes, we have both, but we also have some of the best, you know, people that, you know, I certainly have had the opportunity to work with. And it's really getting to those people to enable the change and establish the change agents across the whole Federation, if you will, is really a very exciting part of what I do.
In meeting many of these challenges head-on, McGrath outlines the department's strategy for improving its critical business operations.
The business enterprise architecture, and the way I characterize the architecture is that I've talked a little bit about the holistic approach and this end-to-end focus that we have in the department. The architecture is the place you write it down. So if you made agreement on a business process or a standard in a specific area, you need a place to write it down that everybody knows, you know, it's going to be there. And so that is the blueprint, if you will, that drives the path ahead from a business perspective. So I mentioned that the BEA needs to align to a strategy for it to be purposeful and meaningful. The strategic management plan is the business strategic document. It's also aligned to the department's overarching strategic document, which is the Quadrennial Defense Review. And there's an overarching goal in the QDR that talks about, you know, implementing the reform agenda and really going after the business space. And that's where we hook, if you will, the SMP, the Strategic Management Plan, to the overarching enterprise goals. The Enterprise Transition Plan is the document that says, well, here's where I am today and here's how I'm getting to the future state. And so that really is the document that says, here's where I am today and this is the place I want to be, and then how we're going to get there and by when.
Focusing on DoD's core business missions is critical to changing the way it does business. Beth McGrath elaborates.
So the core business areas that we had previously defined, weapon systems, life cycle management, material supply and services, real property and infrastructure, financial management, and human resources, those areas are very much aligned to the way DoD is organized. And we have really found that in order to drive business improvements or business operations, you really need to cut across the various functional areas. Those are all very functionally aligned, tied to an organization. And so we're really looking at, you know, what are the end-to-end processes that we really need to go after? There are 15 that are in the commercial space, and we have chosen two of them to put our main focus on, and they are hire to retire and procure to pay. And it's really taking a look at defining what the high-level end-to-end process looks like. What standards do you need? What changes do you need to make? And what systems do you have that are currently executing those processes? And you'd be amazed what you find when you start mapping sort of systems to process. And then, you know, it is no secret that DoD has thousands of systems that are not interoperable. And so the goal here is to say, well, if I'm trying to execute an end-to-end process, which is what we do every day, then our systems should be enablers to the execution of that process. And so it's, I'm going to say, not terribly exciting to some people to, you know, map systems to processes. But when you see really the opportunity to make things better and more seamless, it's really hard not to do something about it. And so really we are mapping and aligning and documenting the various processes and standards, because those are the things that make things go. I mean, we want it to be invisible to the operators out there. They don't need to know all about the procure to pay and hire to retire. At the end of the day, they just want their paycheck right, and they want it fast. They want the information reliable and accurate so that they can make decisions about, you know, do I have enough cash to buy this, or do I need to do something else? I mean, it's all about achieving business outcomes.
For McGrath, it's all about achieving business outcomes. Getting off the GAO high-risk list exemplifies her outcome-based approach.
So we spend a lot of time with our partners in the Government Accountability Office. DOD owns on its own 8 of the 30 and then shares another 7, which is how we get to we own half. In the personal security clearance area, again, it was very much focused not only on the DOD backlog and transaction time, it was focused on the federal space because there were issues across the federal government about the backlog and then the time it took to actually get a security clearance. And so it was really a partnership with the Office of Personnel Management, who is the main investigative service provider for the federal government, the Office of Management and Budget, and the management side, the Deputy Director for Management, and the Office of the Director for National Intelligence, the DNI. And it really took everyone to do their piece, both the policy, process, and information technology, to enable us to get off the high-risk list. And so Lean Six Sigma, that is where we started. We essentially locked everyone in a room and said, we need to re-look at the process. And we did discover that there were changes that ought to be made in the federal investigative standards. And we had the people at the table, being the Office of Personnel Management and the Director of National Intelligence, because they own security policy from a federal perspective. So they are the policy owners, if you will, you know, step up and make changes to those federal investigative standards. And then we looked at the backlog, really put a lot of people on it in addition to IT, and we're able to take 100,000 case backlog for DOD down to zero. So that, to me, is a significant improvement. Also, our average security clearance time back then was 165 days. That was in 2006. And today it's roughly about 47 days. And so, I mean, that's tremendous.
As their perspectives indicate, Hale and McGrath have spearheaded a promising partnership between the CFO and DCMO communities within the U.S. Department of Defense. They are collaborators as well as leaders in making the Secretary's vision a reality. In the end, it is clear that their collective focus is on enhancing the department by making it more efficient, accountable, and strategic in the use of mission support resources, with the ultimate aim, providing the best possible support to the warfighter. Stay tuned as we wrap up this edition of the Business of Government magazine.